BBC Sounds. Music, radio, podcasts. Tell It.
Welcome to From Gay to Non-Gay.
I'm James, I'm gay.
I'm Dan, I'm non-gay.
We've come to Belfast in Northern Ireland to chat to people about what being LGBTQ plus here looks like. And in the last episode, we went to the seaside with Josh.
Yeah, and Josh told us he'd picked up leaflets in his church advertising gay conversion therapy.
He says how he could understand why some gay people might want a magic wand to make them straight. Hello, homo no more.
What is that? Is that Harry Potter or something?
Yeah.
Okay, I haven't seen Harry Potter. No spoilers. Anyway, we decided that James was going to try so-called gay conversion therapy to see what it's all about. And there's a guy who offers this service, and he's agreed to meet us. So Mike Davidson says he helps people who are not happy being gay and offers them something that he says is like talking therapy. But he is not a qualified doctor, and he is not a registered therapist. The government is looking to ban so-called gay conversion therapy. In a recent report, they called it an abhorrent practice. The NHS and all major therapy professional bodies, they say it's unethical and potentially harmful. However, this guy is still practicing it.
So we went to find him. Now, a heads up, this is potentially a very triggering listen, and I found it to be an incredibly difficult experience, and I find it very difficult even listening back to it.
Okay. Are you nervous?
Am I?
Yeah.
No, not really, to be honest. Not on the level that I imagine you are.
Okay.
You got every reason to be like...
I don't know. Like...
Why are you nervous then?
It's so complicated. I don't want to be judged, Dan. I guess it's that. Like, I'm openly going into a room where a man is going to judge me for being gay. And I don't want to be judged for being gay.
Right.
I guess that's what it is. It's like, I know this man disagrees with me and believes things differently to me, so I am almost immediately feeling on edge because I know I'm going to have to be respectful to him because he's a person with views, but at the same time, I disagree with those views fundamentally.
Hi,
Dan. How are you doing?
I'm James, and that's Dan.
Hi, Dan.
Hi.
Come in. Thank you for coming. So this is where we usually do the work. I'm Mike Davidson, and I run Core Issues Trust, which is a charity that takes people seriously who say they want to move away from homosexual practices and feelings.
So who usually seeks help?
It can be anybody. I would say they would all be adults, because the trust does not work with minors. Probably just under a half would be from no faith or other faith backgrounds.
Are you a Christian organisation?
Yes.
Why would someone who's not religious seek out a Christian organisation to help them with anything, but with this?
Well, because the professional mental health bodies, the UKCP, the Royal College of Psychiatrists, the General Medical Council, all of those larger bodies, anybody who's signed what we call the Memorandum of Understanding, is being told that it is an ethical offence to change or attempt to change sexual feelings in an individual. So that means there's nowhere to go, because they're simply going to be told, well, if you have homosexual feelings, you are gay. And some people are just not convinced by that. They realize they have the feelings, but they don't identify with the notion of being gay. To have a categorical change, to come as a person struggling with homosexual feelings and then to leave with no feelings, is not very realistic. So you have to work out, in each case, you know, what they want to achieve and why they want to achieve it.
And so what do you do at that point?
Well, we do talking therapy, basically.
Rather than us talking about it, let's do some. Should we do some of this talking therapy?
Sure.
All right, I guess I'll leave you to it then.
Yeah, see you later. So is this what a session would normally look like?
You'd be sitting there, I'd be sitting here.
Okay. Now, obviously, this is kind of a simulation, so it is not exactly the same. Well, let's start.
So, welcome, James. I would really appreciate understanding what it is that you're looking for, what you're trying to achieve.
One of the things I'm most unhappy about is the level of shame I get given to me from other people who should be minding their own business.
Well, I can really identify with that because from my point of view, shame is the one thing that is probably dominant in terms of all the people who come in this direction, who struggle with homosexuality.
When I was younger, I was bullied for being ginger. And then as I became older, I was bullied for being gay. There was one time with a guy who kicked me in the balls at a bus stop, actually, when I was probably 13.
But by the sound of it, you internalized it in a way that shamed you?
Yeah.
Tell me more about the emotions that you felt. So was it a hot day, a cold day? Was it raining? What?
I think it was a hot day.
It was a hot day. And you're standing at the bus. Are there others around you?
Yeah, definitely.
Do you have a sense of being alone or do you have a sense of being supported there?
No, I think any situation like that you would feel alone in.
So this was profoundly shaming, deeply, deeply shaming. So by the sound of it, you really took it into yourself.
Yeah.
Is that what happened?
Yeah, I think so. Do you, from what I've told you, have a theory as to why that would give me this same-sex attraction?
I don't think any one thing gives people same-sex attraction. I'm not saying this is the case in your case because I don't know enough about you. But, you know, if that's your existence at school, it's bullying. And I'm not surprised that maybe you become distant from other males. We could explore that. And that's what this kind of therapeutic context is about. That gives you the space to do that.
Dan?
Yeah.
Do you wanna come back?
Sure. How's everybody?
I think we're good. I want to talk about your journey and how you came to this.
I wanted to move away from the homosexual feelings I experienced. I grew up in the church.
Why did you want to stop those feelings, if you don't mind?
I was not comfortable with them.
Why?
I had a conscience. I had a set of values that were really important to me.
And that told you that was wrong?
Yes. But there were certain situations where I felt incredibly convicted or ashamed.
Have you ever had feelings for men? Non-sexual. Have you ever had emotional feelings for men?
Yes, without doubt. I mean, I desperately wanted to connect with other men and didn't know how. I could see what seemed to be healthy, fulfilling friendships around me, and I didn't know how to achieve that. So I always felt other. I always felt different and excluded. I wasn't great at sport. My father was a war veteran, great at rugby, great at cricket, and I felt a real gap between that and I didn't feel emotionally connected. I can remember the day that I said to myself, well, if that's being a man, referring to my father, I don't want anything to do with that.
Are you saying you feel for yourself that you pushing away from your father's masculinity in part made you have homosexual feelings?
It did not equip me to find a pathway with other males that I felt comfortable with because I didn't know how to do it.
But how does that make you have homosexual feelings?
You know, there's a point at which boys will say, oh, that's a girl, that's yuck. And then I guess the hormones kick in and something begins to change. But it's almost as though they're drawn to the mysteriousness, the otherness of the female. Now, for me, males felt other.
Because you hadn't been hanging out with them?
Because I didn't feel like one.
That's really interesting, because I think I would probably relate to that to some extent. I've got memories of crying and crying and crying because I was terrible at football, and not being part of that world left me with no friends, really, and no male companionship. But I have not at any point had homosexual feelings. So the Royal College of Psychiatrists say there's no evidence to support this practice. Word therapy is misleading. The NHS, all major therapy professional bodies say that the efforts to try and change or alter sexual orientation through psychological therapies, it's unethical and potentially harmful. Are all those bodies wrong?
If you do research from only one point of view, and you can only get research money if you hold one point of view, then you're going to come up with one point of view. But if it's all from one ideological point of view, the science cannot be checked.
So you think the NHS has an ideological point of view?
You cannot just write off our point of view. We have a point of view.
May I ask a question? Are you still attracted to men now?
Not emotionally. Sometimes I can see a man and I think, well, he's very attractive. But it's not how it was years ago. It may be my age, but I don't have that deep longing for an emotional attachment for a man or a sexual encounter with a man.
Mike, I feel quite sorry for you, and I think you are genuinely trying to do what you think is best for other people that have been in a similar position to you and feel as though they don't want to be gay because their religion tells them that's wrong. But I cannot forgive you for upholding that belief. And the people that come to you are vulnerable, and they've been given so much shame and like hatred, and you are amplifying that and telling them a lie that they can suppress those thoughts, and they can't, because you've just admitted yourself that you can't suppress those thoughts.
I've never used the word suppression. What I believe in is transformation. What we do is we replace those feelings.
But Mike, what if that's not true? And what if actually you are gay? What if all of that is you actually just ignoring that you're homosexual?
You know, even if that's true, I have the right and the freedom to identify and to live as I choose.
Now, that was very, very, very tough, especially as a gay man, but very tough anyway.
I mean, it was tough for me as well, just listening to it. I mean, he did have the air of kind of a doctor, but don't forget, he isn't. He's got no qualifications in medicine or qualifications in psychotherapy.
But here's the thing, and this is potentially surprising for me to say this, but like, he says he means well, right? And he seems as though he wants to help people. So, I mean, who knows?
Right, well, using my politics degree hat again.
Okay, here we go.
I've been looking into this.
Here we go, guys.
And the Westminster government wants to ban gay conversion therapy in the UK. They say it's abhorrent, harmful, and pseudoscientific. They say it can be a lot worse than the talking therapy that Mike offers. It can be things like surgery or even so-called corrective rape. Our podcast listeners asked us to come to Northern Ireland, but it's happening all over the UK.
Thanks, Dan. So we've heard why Mike thinks it's okay. However, the government, the NHS and every psychological body say that it's harmful. So what we need to do now is hear from people that have been through this. But first, I just need a couple of seconds to breathe. How are you doing?
I'm okay, I think. How are you?
Well, I'm still gay, but...
Right.
That was just incredibly triggering.
Spoiler alert.
And I think we should also point out that that simulated version of what we just went through, that feels like the tip of the iceberg compared to what other LGBT people have been through. I think we should speak to Vicky.
Yeah, Vicky Beeching used to be a famous Christian rock star. Her songs were sung in churches all around the world.
and she spent years trying to change her sexuality. But just to be clear, she was not ever a client of Mike Davidson's. But we wanted you to hear her story, so we rang her from our hotel room.
Thank you so much for chatting to us. This is very kind of you.
Vicky, when you were young, can you tell us how important religion was to you?
So growing up, my faith was always a really crucial part of my life and my identity. Even when I was a little kid, I used to stare up at the sky and just wonder where all the stars came from. And I used to start sort of talking to God. It was actually right around the same time as I got serious about my faith, kind of 12 or 13, that I also realized that I was only attracted to girls. And the combination of both of those two things was actually really terrifying, because I was made to feel like there was no option. You know, either you could be gay or you could be a Christian, but not both. I think the main emotions I felt were shame and fear. Shame because I felt like there must be something deeply, deeply wrong with me, that somehow I'd caused this. And then fear because I just couldn't bear the thought of anybody finding out.
What were you afraid of?
Mostly I was afraid of massive rejection, because almost all of my friends and my relatives were part of these evangelical Christian churches in the UK. If they found that out about me, I was just really worried that I would be rejected by not only my family, but pretty much all of my friends.
So back in the day, did you try to change your sexuality as well as ignore it?
I did. I basically took every single opportunity and every type of conversion therapy that exists. There's lots of different sorts. You know, there's the really dramatic, loud exorcisms, and I unfortunately experienced those. There's also much more subtle forms of conversion therapy, like more like counselling. Basically, any form of conversion therapy that was offered to me, both short-term and long-term, I, you know, sadly really did try, and they left me very, very damaged.
What was the exorcism like?
I was 16 and really, really desperate for something to change. So I went up in front of, it must have been about 4,000 other teenage Christians, and was prayed for by adults who shouted at me, put their hands on me, shouted in tongues. I was sobbing, I was crying, I felt like vomiting at one point, because it was just very traumatic and scary, really, to be in that hyped up environment. I remember going to bed that night, just remember lying there in my tent, just kind of just feeling so nervous and anxious, like what is it inside me that's creating these feelings? What have I done to deserve this? And it made not a shred of difference. I was still as gay as I had been an hour earlier, but it left me with a lot of trauma. My mental health really suffered. The shame of kind of being led to believe that I was somehow either causing it or controlled by something evil. And for a teenager, that is just, it's just a lot to take on board, isn't it? Being a teenager is hard enough, but dealing with all of that was enough to start leading me to some sort of mental collapse, to be honest.
Vicky, I'm like bowing my head. I'm so distraught by everything I'm hearing. How long did you do it for? How long did you try this stuff?
The first time I knew I was gay would be as far back as about 12. And it took me till I was 35 to come out. In my late 20s, I actually did reach a point of feeling suicidal. That may sound very dramatic, but actually with all the people that I work with, kind of helping them on their journeys with this, it's actually not uncommon. There's a lot of us who've been really brought to that dark, dark place by experiences of conversion therapy. Because if you feel that much fear, that much shame, you can just conclude actually that life isn't worth living.
Did it have a physical impact on you too?
I was singing in all these huge mega churches in America and in the UK. And suddenly I began to develop these really strange white patches on my skin, and I had no idea what was going on. So I went to see a doctor, and he said actually that it was something very serious. It was an autoimmune disease called scleroderma. And scleroderma is where your skin cells start turning into scar tissue. So he said to me that my body was literally at war with itself, which I thought was pretty profound. The treatment for it was a form of chemotherapy, and that has kind of been treated, but has now left me with fibromyalgia and with ME, chronic fatigue syndrome. So my health is pretty wrecked, to be honest. I do my best, but the doctors said that they believe that trauma and stress, and specifically my journey with suppressing my sexuality and all the shame around that, they believe that that led to all of these problems with my immune system.
Wow. It's really hard to hear that. I'm so sorry.
I can't believe that the place that you're talking about is the UK. I can't believe it.
This is happening in the UK, and I would say hundreds of young people, if not bordering on thousands now, have got in touch with me since I came out in 2014, saying that they've had similar experiences, especially at these young people's Bible camps, but also in very quiet, respectable little churches on quiet street corners in England are counselling people. They're having prayer sessions with people, praying that they would be made straight. So it doesn't have to be loud and dramatic. It can be quite quiet, but the effects are just as dangerous.
It's just so sad hearing that story. And if you needed any more proof that being gay is part of who you are and that you were born that way, that's it. Like, her body was at war with itself because of the trauma that she was going through. That is so upsetting to hear.
It's pretty heartbreaking to listen to that. And the fact that she had this amazing career in the church, doing all this fantastic work, inspiring young people all around the world, and then it's just been cut short and she doesn't feel like she can go back to it. It's awful.
It does seem like religion is the main reason for all of this stuff. And I think that's really confusing. Like, not all Christians think like this, surely.
No, I mean, we both, I think, broadly identify as Christian, right? And we don't think like this.
But we're growing up thinking that the church says it's wrong to be gay, and there's got to be a reason why we instinctively think that.
Well, in the next episode, that's what we'll explore.
That's in episode 3 of From Gay to Non-Gay.
So it's From Gay to Non-Gay.
No, but we're going to change the name of the series now, From Gay to Still Gay.
Right, okay.
If you need support with issues relating to sexuality, visit bbc.co.uk/actionline.